you have enough confidence in me when I come here. I preach the gospel and this wonderful invitation and the opportunity I've had to preach quite a bit of truth with you here this week. You have a biblically oriented lesson again tonight, multitudes of scriptures, so get your Bible, pencil and paper, bring your tape recorders, get ready to hear a lot of scriptures read and quoted, because we've got lots of them tonight. I'm going to pour out my heart and the Bible to all of us. In just a moment, I'll tell you what the topic of the lesson is, but the first thing I want to do is thank everybody again for coming, and thank those who had us over to the home for meals, and those who took us out for meals, and I want to thank Brother Mike for putting up with me all week. We've had a joyous time together. I want to thank Brother Denson for taking care of Brother Mark. I think Brother Mark may have some comments to make at the close of the service, asking before service, so we're thankful for everyone that's helped us in every way. We don't want to try to mention too many names, because sometimes I forget and I get in the doghouse, you know what I mean? We love all of you, and we thank you for all the good things you've done. It's just a wonderful opportunity to be here one more time. I've been here many, many times through the years, the congregations round about. We look forward to coming again. If the brethren decide for us to come, if not, we will be working in other localities and areas, and television work and radio work. We are the state of Kentucky, completely covered with television programs now. We have a program at Louisville, Kentucky, and also at Lexington, Kentucky. That was part of Indiana and West Virginia, and we have the television program on at Pullman, Alabama. We have a radio program at Liberty, Kentucky, my hometown, which is in its 58th consecutive year on that station, the oldest program on the station, of course. And we're thankful that we've been able to preach at Burkesville, Kentucky for many years on the radio, and Livingston, Tennessee, and many other places through the years. And so we just are not saying this to boast or to brag, but to thank God and glorify God that an old country boy like me has had the opportunity to preach so many places and so many lessons from God's Word. We have television programs recorded available for people. If you would like copies of some, get in touch with us and we'll try to fix you some and mail them. You can copy them here locally with our permission and use them to teach others if you think they're noteworthy. We just want to teach and preach God's Word and give Him the glory, the praise, and the honor because He's so deserving of it, sending His Son to suffer and to bleed and to die. We might have access to the riches of marvelous and wonderful and amazing grace, how sweet this I am, has saved a wretch like you and a wretch like me. We once was lost, but now we're found, we're blind, but now we see. Thankful for the good prayer we had tonight, wonderful song service, and all those who participate in the services and the love we all have one for another. And again, I say, Jesus said that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we don't do that. We disobey a direct command of Jesus Christ. So let's make it sure as we can, while we can, because the time will soon come when we no longer can. Tonight, my subject under consideration, with the Lord's help, is these things ought not so to be. And of course, that covers a large volume and area. These things ought not so to be. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and we'll have a basis for our study tonight. Job 2, verses 1 through 10. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that the man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Did you get that? The greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent a call for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continue. What a man. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. He's always among people. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. You know, God don't have to do that. He's everywhere all the time. None of the time, any of the time, he's not there all the time. He's omnipresent, as we said one night this week. walking up and down the nets. So the devil has to go here and go there and walk up and down. He ain't there all the time like God and Jesus Christ could be. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand nigh to all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in my power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger of Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servant, the edge of the sword, and only I am escaped alone to tell thee." And so we know that Job was a man that never disobeyed and rebelled against the counsel of God. And all this, the Bible said, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. And I'll read the whole thing because for the time element. But think about this man. What a great man he was. He sinned not nor charged God foolishly. How many men did that God say about that many men? How many did he say about that? Think about that. These things ought not so to be. In James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, let's notice again what the Bible says. James 3, 9 through 12. "Therewith," talking about the tongue, "with blessed we God, even the Father, and therewith cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Now the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things," there's your text right here, "these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Now just think of that. No fountain reap forth salt water and fresh. "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Let's look again at what the Bible says. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And the scripture says, 19 and 20, and he says, "Now wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Slow to speak and slow to wrath. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let's continue reading here through verse 27 while we're at it. And then he says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway," which means immediately, "forgetting what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," now notice, "and continueth therein," don't just look into it and browse now, Continue therein, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a what? Doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. What if we look into it and hear it, don't do it?" Well, no, that's not pleasing to God, is it? Verse 26, "If any man among you seem to be religious," didn't say he is, it seems to be. Seems like he is, in other words. "If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain, useless, worthless, helpless, and hopeless, empty." Empty, you see. There's nothing to it. But pure religion. Then you see, that's the one we want right there. It's not a seeming religion. It's a pure religion. It's a true religion. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless, widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Question: are we obeying what James 1:27 says? If we're not, we don't have pure religion. That's what it says, isn't it? It say what it means? Mean what it says? That's pure religion. It's a demonstration of living right. Not just talking about living right. Pure religion. Just get that verse again. Get it between the eyes above the ears. Let it saturate and dominate, penetrate and infiltrate the depths of your soul. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. To visit the fatherless. Does that mean it's going to hello fatherless, goodbye fatherless? Been there, I knew fatherless, see you later fatherless? No. That means to supply a need that is urgent, pure religion, and undefiled before God the Father, is to visit the fatherless and, according to the connected conjunction, and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. She has an affliction. There's a need to be supplied to the fatherless. There's a need to be supplied for the widow in their widows of their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Can you think of a better way to keep yourself unspotted from the world than to be busy helping your fellow man and your brother and sisters in Christ? Huh? Can you think of a better way to do it than that? If you do, let me know when you come out the door, because I want to know about it. That spells it out. It's simple, ABC. Talk is cheap. Action speaks louder than words. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. He said, reverse that. John 15:14. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, neighbors and friends, he not only laid down his life for his, well, those that he loved, he laid down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies. See, he died for his enemies. These things ought not so to be. Things that contradict what the Bible says. We do what the Bible says. James chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Let's notice again what the Bible says. James chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Behold, observe, take note of, pay close attention. We count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Here it is again. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now of tender mercy. Really tender mercy now. That's a marvelous thing just to think about. Tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, now notice, above all things, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Be careful what you say and how you say that. And don't be just going on and on about things, but do what the Bible says to do. Ephesians 4:21 through 32. And the Bible says, verse 21, it so be that ye have heard him and have seen, been taught by him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, I mean manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now think about that. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth. Don't be lying now, if you speak the truth. The truth will make you free. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. You did my word, and truly my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Speak with his neighbor. The truth is his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Now, if you do that, you do give place to the devil, of course. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hands that thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, that's getting a mouthful, really, isn't it? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Don't grieve it. You can grieve the Spirit. So don't do that. Don't grieve the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger, how much of it? All of it. Can't keep any of it. That all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, not holding grudges. Can't do that and go to heaven. You're hellbound if you go out holding grudges. Can't go to heaven talking like that and acting like that. tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now that's easy to understand, isn't it? Yes, we can understand that. So a wicked mouth, these things ought not so to be. That's what the first thing we studied. Now the wicked mouth. The second one is stop. Don't have immorality in your life. Don't have immorality. Colossians 3, 1 through 15, from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 15. And the Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I'm afraid a lot of us have got everything down here set on their affections rather than up yonder set on their affections. We can say one thing, we may do something else. Because we say we're doing this, don't mean we're doing it. This is a command, it's not an option. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For ye are dead. That is, dead to love and practice to sin. You're a Christian, you're a child of God, cling by the blood of Christ. So act like it, live like it. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That beautiful song will hide you in the blood. Hide you in the blood of Jesus. If you've been raised with Christ, you're hidden in the blood of Jesus, you see. You're dead. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and we're alive because of him, you see. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, that means crucify, get rid of. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. If we are guilty of covetousness, we're an idolater. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Another place says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not of the things he possesses. Your life doesn't consist of what you have around you or in your back pocket or your portfolio financially. No. Mortify, get rid of these. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when you lived in them in the past of a weakened bird, he said. He said, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Why? Seeing that you observing and knowing and understanding that you have put off the old man with his deed. That man is history. And the new man is present and moving on toward the future. You see, that's the difference. That's the difference. Otherwise, you're going back in what you come out of in sin. So lie not one another, see you put off the old man with his deeds, and I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You know better now, don't you? So act like it and live like it. Renew the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now get that. I want you to get that. Ponder that and think about how important that is. Let's continue reading. That's important to understand that too. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do also do ye. If we get in a quarrel with somebody, do we hold a grudge and just keep it in our hearts? Say time will take care of that? No. Take 3 minutes. Clean it up. That's why he says, confess your fault to one another, pray one that you may be healed, the effects of fervent prayer. A righteous man availeth nothing. That's what the Bible teaches us, James 5:16. And so let us put off all these ungodly things. So put on therefore the bowels, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, forbearing one another, forgive one another, if any man will quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, also do ye, and above all these things put on charity. Why? Which is the bond of perfectness in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verses, now by the faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And the Bible says charity covers a multitude of sin. And since we all got a multitude of sins, we need a whole lot more charity, don't we? I do. You do. We all do. Let's just face facts. And these are facts that must be faced. And he says, and let the peace of God rule, that means dominate, control your life and your heart to that which also you're called in one body, that's the church, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, now get this, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. Another name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. That lovely, sweet name of Jesus says it all. Says it all. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 7. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. There it is. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God, for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetous, let not be once named among you as become a saint. Don't let it be named among you. Don't let it be involved in it. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Better watch what we say and do. And all the time, not just sometimes, all the time. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, a covetous man is right in the same boat with a whoremonger. Just the same application. Sin is sin. No whoremonger, nor unclean person, or no covetous man, covetous, which is idolatry, we just done showed, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Anybody that possesses these things has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That means in the church of the Lord. He has no inheritance in it. If you act like that and live like that and talk like that, you're out of it. You're just out of it. Important. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Verse 6, if a little man deceive you, the vain word, because these things come with the wrath of God upon the children of the disobedient. The wrath of God comes on people that does the things we talked about in the previous verses. And then he said in verse 7, he nails it down, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't go along with them. Don't agree to it. Don't be a part of it.
Amen.
You don't be a partaker of the evil deeds, another place says. We can't do that. Now, this might be pretty strong, but it's the Bible. That's all we got. Not man's comprehension of it, but what it says. Man may comprehend it wrong, but what it says can never be wrong. You can't improve upon what the Bible specifically says. And so let's not try to do that. 1 Timothy 5:22. From the pen of the Apostle Paul again. 1 Timothy 5. And verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. Now if you're a partaker of other men's sins, then you're not pure, you're impure, right? Keep yourself pure. You can't go along with sin. I don't care if it's your children, your grandchildren, you or your wife, or your grandma and grandpa, it ain't none. Makes no difference. No matter what your last name is, no matter what side of the track you grew up on, doesn't matter. Just don't do it. Just don't do what the Bible says not to do. If you do, you're in sin. Therefore, we must know to do good and doeth it not to him, it is sin, S-I-N, that old hiss of the serpent. Every time you say it, you got to hiss that serpent. Sin, transgression of God's law. James 4:17, that we might know to do good and do it not to him, it is sin. If we know to do good, we don't do it, we've sinned. We've done wrong. There's no way out of it except doing what the Bible says. Just straighten it out with God. That's who they're straightening it out with. So we're talking about a wicked mouth, we're talking about immorality, and now we're talking about hypocrisy. These things ought not so to be. Brothers and sisters should never be guilty of the things we've been talking about. A wicked mouth, immorality, and now hypocrisy. Romans 12:9 through 21. Romans 12, 9 through 21. I'm looking at the Apostle Paul again. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Paul wrote the church at Rome and was writing to every congregation of the Lord's people from that time forward. Romans 12, 9 through 21. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Abhor, detest evil things. Cleave to. You know what it means to cleave to, don't you? Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, on fire. Fast to do what we should be doing, and fervent in what we are doing, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant prayer, distributing the necessity of the saints, giving the hospitality, bless them which persecute you, blessed and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high thing, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. But men have it the other way. They do associate with those in upper crust rather than those average people. They think they're just a little bit above everybody else. You look down on everybody else. God help you if you do, for you got problems. Humility is the key that unlocks heaven's door, not pride. Pride goes before a fall. God resisted the proud. It gives more grace to the humble. The Bible is just full of good things about humility and shows you bad things about pride. To my knowledge, there ain't a good word in the Bible, Old or New Testament, about pride or proud. Where is it? Show it to me. Where is it? Where's it at? God resisted the proud. He gives more grace to the humble. That's a marvelous thing, just to be humble before God, the very best of our ability. And we need to be busy doing the things that we ought to be doing. And please God Almighty, go back in Romans 12 again now. Distributing the necessity of the saints. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in sight of all men. If it be possible, much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. What is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. How many of us do that? Notice I said this. I didn't say you. Including me. Now, 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Since you have purified your souls to obey the truth, through the spirit and unfeigned love of brethren, since you love one another pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. In 1 Peter 2, 1 through 6, let's look again. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 6. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, and envies and evil speakings, newborn babe, desire to send serve up the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious, whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones to build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You knew that is, don't you, Jesus? It's the stone which the builders disallowed him. Yes. And now, I know we covered the wicked mouth, immorality, hypocrisy. Now we're talking about, brethren, you never be guilty of unthankfulness. You should always be thankful for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 begins. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. If you turn in your Bible, we'll leave that alone. It's a 25, 18. Hang on, let me hear you. That's 25, 18. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. That's God's will in Christ concerning you. Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And abstain from all the appearance of evil. Let's read on through verse 28. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Not only abstain from evil, but the appearance even of evil. That's getting down to the nitty-gritty, isn't it? Guarantee it is. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. If it appears to be evil, abstain from it. Stay away from it. Get at a distance from it. A lot of people won't get just as close as they can get involved in it, but that's not what the Bible says. And the very God of peace sanctify you, meaning he sets you apart for a special purpose, serving him. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, that means completely, totally, and thoroughly. And I pray, God, your whole, W-H-O-L-E, spirit, not half of your spirit or a fourth of your spirit, but your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize, do I realize what that is to keep yourself blameless before the Lord comes? That's why you stay away from ungodly things and places. And don't wear ungodly clothes. Don't demonstrate yourself before the world in a way that they call them the lust after. Men, dress and be like men. Women, dress and be like women. Women keep off a man's garment and a man keep off a woman's garment. What do you think tonight if I come in here with a skirt or a dress on and had rouge all over my face and hair rings in each hair and I said, hi, you going to listen to me tonight or would you leave? I know what I'd do. I'd leave. But I'd say nature's done gone haywire. Think about it. And these folks don't even think anything about what they wear. They don't pay no attention to what the Bible says. Like men or women adorning themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Are they ashamed? No. Jeremiah said, neither are they ashamed, neither could they blush. No blushing, no red faces. Why, everybody else is doing it, why can't I? How many sermons do you hear preached on modesty these days? How many have you heard in the last year, 5 years? Think about it. Let's just stick to what the book says. Grandma and great-grandma wouldn't have wore what people do today. Great-grandpa and grandpa wouldn't have wore what men wear today. He would have got puffed. No, they wouldn't. Boy, how times have changed. But has God's word changed? And it won't. It will not change. Why? Because it says what it means, and it means what it says. Modest apparel means decent, orderly, well arranged. To cover our nakedness. What did God do in the Garden of Eden? With Adam and Eve? Sin? And you see, it says they were naked and were not ashamed before they sinned. Because nobody there had seen him but Adam and Eve was the only two people there. Sin had not come on the scene yet. But when they sinned and they tried to hide in the bushes, God didn't think that was successful hiding, did he? What did he do? He killed innocent animals, took the skins to cover their nakedness. Obviously, God thought they ought to cover up their nakedness. Men today think they ought to open up their nakedness so everybody can see it. Way some people dress, nothing's left but the imagination. Yes. Nothing but the imagination is left. Temptation just keeps on getting more and more. Temptation. Unthankfulness. In Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9, let's look at what the Bible says. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Again, from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. And the Bible says, be careful for nothing. That means don't cover your branches. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Put your trust in God, not in yourself. Not in yourself. No. That's not the thing to do. Be careful. And the peace of God, if you'll do that, which passes all understanding, it's beyond our comprehension, totally, completely, and thoroughly. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Well, that covers a lot of territory, didn't it? Whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't say think on ungodly things. Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you do it, the God of peace will be with you. If you don't, you won't. It's just that simple. Watch a wicked mouth, watch about immorality, watch about hypocrisy, watch about unthankfulness. We are to watch out and stop neglecting one another. We're not to neglect one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let's look at it. We've studied it all our lives. Let's look at it one more time. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. The Bible says, let us consider one another now. I consider you, you consider me. To provoke, that means stimulate, activate, challenge us. To provoke unto love and to good works. Provoke means to stimulate to good works, you see here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because as a matter of some is, some is already doing that, but don't you do it, you see. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, have a man more sacrifice for sins. And what he's saying here before that means if we violate that, we are willfully sinning. We sin willfully, have received knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. I didn't say there remaineth no more forgiveness for sin. It said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, which means Christ did not go into Calvary and re-die again over again. No. He died for sin once. Hebrews 9, 28 said he will come the second time without sin unto salvation. He come the first time to die for sin. He came, they say he'll come the second time to condemn those who live in sin. So, judges righteousness by that man, that's the Lord Jesus, is who he's talking about here. Now, he's already one of much more you see today approaching. Important. He says, we will have received the knowledge of the truth, that a man more sacrifice for him, but a certain fearful looking now, for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall divide the adversary. He despised Moses' law, died without mercy, and the two or three witnesses. In other words, he could be stoned. That's Moses' law. Of how much sore punishment, which means more intensified, more serious. Why? Because of the law of Christ. Of a much sore punishment shall ye be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith you were sanctified, an unholy thing, and have done despite in the spirit of grace. If we violate God's will, it's obvious that's what we'll be guilty of on this position. So he says, don't do that. But we know him that hath vengeance, said vengeance. Than me, I will recompense your repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Hebrews 12:29 says, God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 10:31 said it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Amen! Do we believe that? Of course we should. We don't. We're drunk. Neglecting one another. Last but not least, neglecting the church. Brethren, you should never be guilty of neglecting the church. Never be guilty of a wicked mouth, immorality, hypocrisy, unthankfulness, neglecting one another, neglecting the church. There's so many ways we neglect the church. By not inviting people to assemble. Come, hear the word of God. Not being faithful ourselves in the work of the church. Not teaching the whole truth to people. We can do that. So let's be careful. We don't do it. Philippians 2:14-15, real quick. Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15, on the pen of the Apostle Paul. Philippians 2:14-15. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. See? Just keep pressing on and doing what it writes. 2 Corinthians 9:7-9. 2 Corinthians 9:7-9. The Bible says, 9:7-9. Every man according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity, as God loveth a cheerful giver. And what we give to the church, the work of the church. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now think of it. His righteousness remains forever. In Ephesians 3:21. Let's look. Ephesians 3:21, powerful verse. Unto him, that's Christ, be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. The Lord's church is the only divine institution whereby we can glorify God. You can't glorify God through a Bible college. No. That's taking the glory away from the church. I know many of our brethren believe the other way. Many folks do. But that's what the Bible says. Unto him be glory where? What did he say? Unto him be glory in the church. No other institution is qualified scripturally to glorify God except in the church. If it is, show me the Bible. One place. I beg you. Show it to me. Unto him be glory in the church. How? By Christ Jesus. How long? Throughout all ages, world without end. Jesus died and bought the church with his blood. It's the only blood-bought institution that exists in the Bible. We worship the church by the word of God. We give him the glory in the church that he set upon this rock, I will build. Now here's 15 and 18. He's far above all principalities and power and dominion and might, and God gave him, he hid over all things, the church. Which is his body, the fullest among the fill of all in all. The fullest of God is in Christ, and the fullest of Christ is in the church. Unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. That's plain. May we always be concerned with being what God wants us to be. Don't be in the crowd of these things ought not so be. Let's be in the crowd of these things are going to be what God's word says to do. That's what the attitude we ought to have. In 2 Timothy 2:1-4 will be our last scripture here we're going to use. 2 Timothy, notice that. 2 Timothy 2:1-4. The Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy 2:1-4. through the floor. Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be other, able to teach others also. Thou therefore in your heart is as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth and taileth himself with the fire of this life and may please him, but chosen him to be a soldier. Yes. Let's just do what the Bible says. We'll be safe when we stand before God. But if we don't, we'll stand condemned. Regardless of what the subject might be, whatever the Bible says, that's what we need to follow. Anything else is contrary to truth. The truth will make us free, and the truth will judge us all in the last and final day. If we've obeyed it, we'll be pleasing to God, and heaven will be our home. If we disobeyed it, we won't. Heaven will be our eternal, or hell will be our eternal abode. Are you here tonight and not a Christian? If not, you've heard the word plenty of it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Do you believe it with all your heart? John 8:24. Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You must share it. You must believe it. You must repent of every sin. Look in 3, they I tell you, with exception of repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 17:30, in times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. A change of mind, a change of will, which leads you to a change of life. Turn your back on sin and turn toward the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then make that sweet confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The greatest word that ever come out of your mouth would talk as if you were telling all the fruit of your lips. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For salvation, no other name. Acts 4:1. You need to make that confession. If you come tonight, take a seat here on the front, be able to make that great confession that the Bible talks about. Need to be buried with your Lord in baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:18-20. Raised to walk the newness of life and go on your way rejoicing, according to Acts 8:35-40. You'll come up out of that water, brought to your grave with baptism. You'll be a child of God, added to church. There's every reason for you to go forth rejoicing because you've obeyed the simple plan of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. If you've obeyed the gospel and gone back into sin, come back and yield your will to God's will. Confess your faults one to another and pray one thing you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we want to be cleansed, if we want righteousness, if we want holiness, if we want peace, if we want heaven, if you do, bid heaven's call. Do what he says, and it will be granted at the proper time in the judgment. Would you come? While we stand.